The Gospel According to Babu. Whenever I write a review of this indie author's work, a mixed feeling of nostalgia with a sprinkle of deja vu on top sweeps over me like a familiar wave. And I would be lying if I said that no other author affects my gag reflex quite like L. Blackburn. But the good news is that it appears his craft is improving with his newest release. No lie, my dry heaving was kept to a minimum with this one. So it's safe to say that this book is definitely an improvement over his previous soul-searching series, which seriously sucked donkey balls. That one had me retching and dry-heaving to the point that I was forced to DNF or risk life-threatening gastrointestinal repercussions. For those of you who follow my column, you know that Babu is always willing to give the devil his due. For L. Blackburn, I will toss some kudos his way for his keen depiction of those raw, cutting-edge sex scenes that brought the characters to a new level of passion and angst, and served to drive the plot into some very delicious places. Apparently, this indie author has found some inspiration for his vastly improved sex scenes, although his abundance of metaphors and stilted dialogue still needs to be addressed post-haste. Clearly, he is improved in certain areas, and one can only wonder if he's finally found his muse. Aside from the sex scenes, his new erotic suspense genre seems to generate more interesting plot content as well. Easy to Be Hard is the story of a hate-to-lust relationship between two individuals at cross purposes within one secret government intelligence agency, with a bit of Mr. and Mrs. Smith flavor. It held my interest the majority of the time. If L. Blackburn can continue sparking this reviewer's interest with his series, it'll be quite an accomplishment from where he was last year on Babu's hit list, which, as you recall, was deep down in the dank cellar. And now for the big news. I'm taking a 4-week hiatus from the Bluffington Gazette and Great Reads. You damn well know I've earned it, because seriously, folks, how often have I taken a reprieve from my responsibilities here at the Gazette? Never. So, not to worry, though. I've got you covered. During my absence, both the Gazette and Great Reads will be running the Best of Babu. Yes, Babu is taking a well-earned sabbatical to finish a special project, and maybe take a trip as well. Not the brown acid type, either. So enjoy the Best of Babu while I'm away, and the special treat is you'll be getting a new review daily instead of weekly. Take a walk down memory lane so you can relive those moments of pure, unfiltered Babu at his finest. Feel the agony this reviewer endured in order to save all of you from the toxic word vomit that spewed from indie authors like Mount Vesuvius on crack. You owe me your continued adoration. I'll certainly read up a book or two during my sabbatical so I can start up fresh and feisty upon my return. So, hang in there. And for fuck's sake, be careful what you read out there. I release a heavy sigh. It's part relief, part happiness, and part apprehension. I played hell getting Joel to approve a month's vacation, and I wasn't about to tell him why I needed those 4 weeks in succession. It's top secret, after all. Larson doesn't even know. Yet. All he knows is that I've been extraordinarily busy over the past several months, what with my column and finishing up my project, but he's about to hear the good news personally. Still, it's enough time to finish my project and surprise Larson. He has no idea that I've been tweaking and rewriting Bridge to Lonely in order to self-publish. I've been working on it on the sly, and it's now back from final editing. I've designed the cover myself, one final read-through, and it's ready to go. If you recall, Bridge to Lonely is loosely based on my own coming-of-age story. It involves my personal struggle in coming to terms with my own sexuality as a result of a traumatic event at the hands of my stepfather during my adolescence. It deals with my first awakening to my sexuality and the boy I was inexplicably drawn to the summer I was 14. Ethan Miller. My first boy crush. We'd been inseparable that summer in Evansville, Indiana. I'd lived there my whole life. Ethan had relocated there from Detroit after his parents divorced. He'd come into my life as a best friend, but even back then at a young age, I somehow sensed I was on the precipice of something major.